We're just about ready to get started here. I want to welcome all of you to our city council meeting. It's 5:32 p.m., so I'll open the meeting at this time. I want to welcome all of our guests, all of our visitors, council, and staff. Thank you all so much for being here. Thanks for being a part of the budget workshop earlier. Really, really good information that was shared ahead of budget season. Okay, well, the first item on our agenda is our invocation, and I'd like to invite Pastor Zach Daniel to come up to the podium, if you don't mind. Zach Daniel is a good friend of mine. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for
having me. Good to have you. Woodway native, and just all around a solid guy. So
thanks
for praying for us.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you guys for and gals for your service. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you today. Lord, I thank you for each one of these men and women who are giving their time to serve the city and to serve the people of the city. And I pray today that you would give them wisdom, that you give them heavenly wisdom for the situations that they're facing, Lord, that you would guide them as they meet today, and that it would result in the prosperity of the city, result in the prosperity of each person who lives here, and that it would bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Zach. Appreciate that very much. All right, this time, if you're able, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. Item number three on the agenda is our public comment time. The City Council would like to invite citizens and guests to address the Council on any matter, including items that are on the agenda, except for public hearings. Those comments related to those hearings will be heard when that specific hearing starts. We ask that you please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R87-11. I'll have a timer appear on the screen behind us so you can keep track of your time. The council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item that's not listed on the agenda. When you're called to speak, we ask that you please state your name and address. And if you're speaking on a specific agenda item, please state the item before beginning your comments. Thank you for your understanding and cooperation. The podium is now open for anybody who'd like to address council. Yes, sir.
Council, mayor, and city staff. Name's David Russell, Woodway taxpayer. I'm talking about something you probably never heard me talk about, and it's something that's in all the news, data centers. This can be a big bonanza for the Woodway or any city because it could be the largest taxpayer. It also can be a big detriment. You hear a lot of people talk about no data centers. I'm in that group, but also not in that group. I'm learning from those people. I think data centers are going to be a very important taxpayer. It's going to be something that's going to happen. But what we do need to do is put in some guardrails if we have any of them that decide they want to be in Woodway. There's three main issues with data centers. There is enormous energy use. There's water use, which we're going to be talking about that later. And there's noise issues. Now, when it comes to the electricity issues, I don't know if you know, ERCOT sets the rates per zip code. We have 3,000 zip codes in Texas. A large data center can use as much as 20,000 residents. So we could see a large increase on the cost of utilities for electricity. Water, they say that a large one can go through as much water as 10,000 people, size of Woodway. You know how much issue we have with water. Noise is, because of all the fans and all the other issues, is a nuisance to people around. What I'm recommending is we need to look at zoning. Come up right now, light industrial, they can put in a data center. Well, we've got light industrial right next to the school. We need to add in another zone, a data center zone. That'll be something we can add. And I have faith that this council right here can come up with all the things we need. My recommendations for where that zone could be is possibly out by where the concrete plant is. So a big wooded area that would also help with the sound issue, because When you set up ordinance for these data centers, you need to have them built with sound deadening walls and green areas around it. That would help it. The water issue, we need to go with non-potable encapsulated watering systems so they're not using ours. They can truck in their own. Also, you could do a Green New Deal idea of having capturing water off the roofs to try to supplement some of their needs. The electricity needs, the sky's the limit. President Trump saying that he might want to put in 120% of their needs that they have to generate themselves so it'd go onto the grid. My recommendation in the podcast, if y'all would like to go to it, it's only a 9-minute podcast, is at least have 80% generated. So that way we're not.
Thank you so much.
Please do something on this, and I will be checking back.
Thank you. Anybody else, please? Yes, ma'am. Good evening.
Hi, my name is Kristen, and I live on Valley Ridge Drive in Woodway. I moved here in April 2024 to take care of my dad after my mom died in 2023. I've lived all this time here. No one's ever complained about me or my dogs. I just recently was informed I can only have six. But they are not just dogs to me. They're my babies. They're my love. They're my family. For me, it's like you asking a mother to give up two of her children. If a family could have eight or more kids living in the house, I don't understand why I can't have eight dogs who are all registered as service and emotional support animals who help me and my family every day. My husband served 15 years in the military, and he defends and support everyone in this room. He is 100% disabled, and he has massive PTSD. He has his service dogs who help him through that. I have fibromyalgia. For those who don't know what that is, that means my whole body feels like hot needles pressing in my skin with fire. It's basically my brain telling my nerves I'm in pain 24/7. And when the pain is bad, my legs shake and tremor, they buckle. Sometimes I pass out. I can't even walk to the mailbox and back without feeling like I ran miles. And I'm exhausted all the time, even though I used to be an athlete. I have anxiety, ADHD, dyslexia, separation anxiety, and panic attacks. I was in an abusive relationship for 9 years. He physically, mentally, and emotionally hurt me. My dogs helped me through that to keep me calm and functional. My son has ADHD, anxiety attacks, and OCD. Before he got here, he was in a hostile environment before he moved with us, and his dogs got him through that. And then my dad, he had 4 mini strokes within 3 months. Now he has stage 4 cancer and dementia. He has these dogs to comfort him while he's in home hospice. These dogs are not a hobby for me. They are how we cope, how we survive. These dogs are how we stay stable. Take them away, it's going to be devastating for my family. Luna helps me with my fibromyalgia pain. She puts her whole body on me, and she presses on the nerves to help with the pain. And then I have Athena, who is my emotional support, helps me with anxiety and panic attacks. Xena and Zeus, they comfort my dad. When he gets confused, they walk him back to where he's supposed to be. Iris and Herod.
Thank you so much, ma'am.
That's is that
time.
It?
That's okay. Time. We appreciate it very much. Thank you. Anybody else to address council, please? Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Norm Hoffman. I live at 1172 Western Oaks. Let's talk about number 7 on the agenda tonight, the wastewater and the water. Are we sure we're going up enough to cover the deficit that we have found the last 2 years? I know the gentleman did the study that was 6 months ago. How is life in Woodway? And before we get to budget time, are we sure that this rate is the rate we need? And I'm suggesting maybe more, not less, for a thought, okay? On number eight, we're adjusting the pavilion rates and all of the rates that we do. Last year, we lowered the rates, if I remember correctly, on the pavilion and areas. What does this new rate do based upon the current year in income? I don't know this answer. Does it raise the income based upon the current year that we've just had when we adopt these rates? Does it lower the income? Fair question for the budget that's coming up. And then number nine, C, I was here for the bids when we got them on the paving project. I'd love to hear Mitch's comment about how much more or less coverage he was able to get from this $400,000 this year. Fair enough. Thanks, guys.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Hoffman. Anybody else, please? Yes, sir.
Good evening. Good evening. Richard Maker. I live in Woodway, and again, I refuse to give my address. It's been a while since I've stood in front of the city council members, but I'm back again to talk about Liberty Hill Cemetery, located at 9305 Bryce Drive in Woodway. Probably wasn't far away from the old city hall. The city started out very strong with support. You provided 12 20-yard dumpsters, and after that, volunteers paid for and hired four more 20-yard dumpsters out of our own pocket. Then an organization came in and they hauled off nine 20-yard dumpsters of dead trees and branches, briars, and trash, totaling 55 tons. We're doing some beautification of Woodway. Many volunteers, ours, have cleared the 1.25 acres. A generous person donated $2,100 for this season, lawn mow and mowing and weed eating. And that's appreciated. We've seeded 20 pounds of seed in there, so it will have white clover growing in there rather than weeds. Also, a local bank said that they have plans to make a donation to Liberty Hill Cemetery. We know that there are 39 children buried back there. There's 20 crosses that have been put when we found the tins on the ground. There's 8 standing monuments, 3 World War I veterans. We've documented a lot of the information on Find a Grave, and we will continue to do that. Research has found 94 death certificates. All this will be shared with the state of Texas. We know that so far there's 204 souls buried back there, and I just wanted to update you with the information about Liberty Hill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Maker. Anybody else, please? All right, there being none, I will close the public comment section at this time. All right, looks like we've got a presentation. We're introducing a new public safety officer. Chief.
Yes, sir.
These are always fun.
Yes. Mayor, council, community, I want to introduce Officer Samuel Leininger. If you don't mind standing right there for me and just give you a little bit about Mr. Leininger and his past. He's born in Waco. He attended Texas Christian Academy and also Midway. He obtained his Associate's of Arts degree from McLennan Community College. Family were missionaries in Germany from 1999 to 2011, and then Namibia, Africa from 2015 to 2016. Officer Leininger came to us with a passion to serve, and he chose our organization to utilize the gifts that he's been given to bless our community with them. Something I wrote about Officer Leininger that I've noticed in his brief career with us, he always brings a spirit of professionalism and empathy at any scene he arrives at. He's excelled to the point where we'll be sending him to the fire academy like Officer Huntington early to complete his fire academy graduation. He's one of those that has excelled and has shown himself worthy of the additional investment. And I just like him to come up and say a few words, introduce himself. I don't
great. Really yeah, I know, I know. This is great.
Hello, Samuel Leininger. I spent some of my high school years here in Woodway and really appreciate and enjoy the community and remembered it fondly when I was looking for an organization and a city to serve. And so I am very excited for the opportunity to get to serve the city of Woodway. I appreciate Chief Khalil's focus on community policing and really getting to interact with citizens and really serve the community rather than just police the community. I'm excited for the future and getting to serve everybody here.
I didn't even pay myself. I make them talk.
Well, welcome. Hang on, sir, hang on one second. First of all, let us welcome you. Thank you so much. I don't know why we haven't done this. I would love to shake your hand. So could you just come around, let us shake your hand and welcome you to Woodway. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief, for bringing another good one to us. Welcome. Welcome to the Woodway family.
Nice
good
job,
to have you. Thank you.
Nice job, Mayor.
Yeah, we need to do that.
That's it.
Every time. Because they've got to rush off so many times, we don't get a chance to shake their hand and welcome them. So thank you, Chief. We'll do that from now on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've got a yard of the month to do today. So let's see. Is the Kopi family here? She's not here. Okay, do we have a picture of her yard? There it is.
Oh,
beautiful.
So nice.
Corpy, excuse me, Corpy. This is Miss Corpy's house on Casa Granada. Miss Corpy, if you're listening, we want to thank you so much for keeping such a beautiful yard and letting Woodway be so beautiful. You definitely deserve Yard of the Month for June. So we'll be sure to get you the sign, and we will send you
yes, sir,
the certificate as well. So. Round of applause for Yard of the Month this month. Beautiful. Thank you so much. Could you pass this down to Madam Secretary, please? Thanks. All right, some good presentations. Now we're going to move on to our business for tonight. Item number 6 is discussion and consider action on resolution R26-10. Adopting the City of Woodway purchasing policy. May I have a motion to discuss, please?
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, your comments, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Section 7.13 of the City Charter authorizes the finance director to establish purchasing procedures for city departments to follow. Therefore, an internal purchasing policy was created and distributed to city staff on May 30th, 2000. This policy was amended in 2001, 2014, 2020, and 2025 to reflect procedures outlined in Chapter 252 of the Local Government Code, as well as purchasing threshold ordinances adopted by the Woodway City Council. During the fiscal year 2025 audit, Brooks, Watson, and Company recommended that the city update its purchasing policy to align with current requirements of the Texas Local Government Code by revising the formal competitive bidding and hub contractor language. Additionally, the auditors advised that the revised policy should be formally approved by the City Council, and the attached audit letter is in your packet.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Manager.
Yes, sir.
Great.
And if any additional information past what's in the packet, Ms. Hernandez is available for answers.
Yeah, great.
Clarification.
Seems pretty straightforward. Council, is there any discussion? Questions? Staff recommends adopting this resolution, so. Good?
Yep.
All right. Do I have a motion to approve, please?
I'm so moved.
Thank you. It's been moved.
Second.
I have a second. Thank you so much. I'll read the resolution before I call for the vote. Resolution R26-10 is a resolution by the City Council of the City of Woodway, Texas, adopting the City of Woodway purchasing policy and determining that the meeting at which this resolution is passed was noticed and has been open to the public as required by law. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. Ayes have it, motion carries, and the resolution is adopted again. Thank you, Council. Wonderful. Item number 7 is discussion and possible action regarding the adoption of a new 5-year water and wastewater rate plan. Motion to discuss, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, number 7, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. At the May 11, 2026 City Council meeting, Wildan Financial Services presented the preliminary results of the water and wastewater rate study. Mr. Jason Gray, Vice President and Managing Principal at Wildan Financial Services, is here to review the proposed rates with Council and answer any questions you may have. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mayor, Council members, city staff. Again, my name is Jason Gray. I'm a Vice President with Wildan Financial Services, based in Plano, Texas. We have the presentation ready.
The clicker? Yep.
Oh, there we go. All right, this is the same presentation that my colleague Dan Jackson provided to you last month, and so there are pieces of this that I'm going to go through relatively quickly. No numbers have changed, the recommendations don't change, and to answer the citizen's question earlier of is this enough, the quick answer is if it's a single year, it's not enough, but we have a 5-year rate plan that gets you to where it is enough over time. And so with that, again, I'm going to go through this relatively quickly, hit kind of the high points and then the rate plan itself, and then take any questions that you have. The main bullet point here is that currently utility revenues are not fully funding the cost of service, particularly on the wastewater side. Your water revenues are sufficiently covering your costs. Today, wastewater revenues are below your cost of providing that service, and you have some relatively significant wastewater projects coming online that are going to increase that cost of service over the 5-year window. And so you'll see that the water and the wastewater rate increases are recommended differently, relatively smaller increases on the water side, larger increases on the wastewater side, and both the new capital projects as well as the fact that we have some makeup to do on the wastewater side contribute to those different percentage recommendations. Right now, your current rate structure is what we would consider to be a relatively common rate structure of having a base rate that is based on the size of the meter that you have, and then also volume rates that go up based on the amount of volume that's being used on the water side. On the wastewater side, all meters and all volume are at a standard rate, $30.14 on residential, $34.35 on commercial. That's the base monthly rate that you get charged regardless of volume used. And then a per 1,000 gallon rate of $3.62 on the wastewater side. Again, this is a common rate structure that's used particularly across the South to try to encourage conservation and also recognize that wastewater and water services are different in that your wastewater services are, you use a winter quarter average for your wastewater services so as to not charge for wastewater for water that gets in, you know, ends up getting used on a lawn, essentially. Right now, your total bill for a 10,000 gallon water and a 5,000 gallon wastewater user compares pretty favorably across the region. You can see there a little below Hewitt, who we're also doing a new rate study for right now, and so their rates we know will be going up. Sort of generally speaking, in the last in the lower quadrant of the areas, I will say that many cities go through this process on either an annual or every 2 to 3 year basis. Most of these cities also are going to be increasing over time. In fact, almost all of them will be increasing over time. Unlike tax rates that you heard about during the budget and tax rate workshop earlier today, because there's not two different pieces that are moving at the same time. With water and wastewater services, generally speaking, the rates have to go up in order to even keep pace with inflation, let alone cover the costs of new projects. Again, I'll go through this relatively quickly. We have forecast growth of about 300 new accounts over the next 10 years. Right now, you're at 4,470 water accounts and just over 4,000 wastewater accounts. Very common to have more water accounts than wastewater accounts for a variety of different reasons, particularly irrigation. You can see that makes up 184 water accounts when those don't have any sewer accounts associated with them. The billed volume, this is the amount that you actually bill for, which is different than the amount of water that you either produce or purchase because there is loss in any system. But we are projecting that out consistent with the growth of the system as a whole. And so you can see there our test year, we're seeing about 822 million gallons, and that will be increasing over time as the community grows a bit as well. 0.6% annually, nothing monumental there, but we do track both the count growth as well as the volume growth that's associated with it. Cost of service is where we essentially start our real analysis. So we do all the demographic information, get in your current rates and those sorts of things. And then we start to understand what your cost of service looks like over time. We take your budget, we go through it line by line, and we assess how much we think the cost of providing those services is going to be increasing on an annual basis. Many of your line items will increase 3 to 4% a year, generally speaking, with inflation. However, there are certain expenses that increase at a, generally speaking, faster pace than inflation. CIP also then has a big impact on the need for generating water and wastewater revenues. Right now, we see your 10-year, based on your staff input, your 10-year water CIP at $9.4 million and your 10-year wastewater CIP at $31.3 million. Again, recognizing about a 3x difference in new investment on the wastewater side as opposed to the water side. One of the major differentiators and why we're recommending a higher wastewater increase than water percentage increase. The specific projects that we've got here, totaling almost $36 million, you can see on the wastewater side, almost $16 million of that is for the main gravity line replacement for Basin 2B, and then a variety of other projects obviously there as well. All of those projects, we do put together a funding plan on an annual basis for the new CIP. Part of your funding plan is forecast new debt issuances. In the green here are projected wastewater debt issuances, and in the blue are water-related debt issuances. Now, typically, you'll issue a single CO for water and wastewater, pledge both revenues of both systems to those, but we do identify what's paying for what. From a rate-making perspective so that we can ensure that we're charging water rates that cover water costs and wastewater rates that cover wastewater costs. Your cost of service is increasing, again, by a couple of different factors. One is that roughly 0.6% growth in your system. Another factor is the cost of your wholesale water purchases and wastewater services that you contract for, and then also the CIP. In addition to just the general inflationary costs that you see with everything from postage to employee increases and those kinds of things.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yes, sir.
Question on this.
Yes.
Are cities allowed to hedge water? Is there like a hedging ability where we can buy it in advance and kind of hedge ourselves from the increase?
Allowed to, yes. There are a number of different ways that you might go about doing that, but somewhat different from some other commodities, essentially.
Yep.
Generally speaking, particularly in Texas where water is relatively limited, as opposed to hedging, it does require you to actually purchase those water rights, either lease them on an annual basis or purchase them outright. And while you may be able to sell some of those if you don't need them, you have to have the physical connections to make all of those things work, and that's an expensive business to be in.
Yeah. I think we're out of luck on that.
Unfortunately, most communities find that it's not cost effective to try and use essentially a hedge strategy because of the fact that Unlike other commodities that you might be able to hedge, you generally speaking do have to take delivery or are going to be responsible for taking delivery, and then also being able to sell that and being able to transfer not only the water right itself, which is more of a commodity base, but also the product itself. And again, the capital investment required to do that is pretty substantial.
Yeah. When I see those climbing bars, that makes me think, can we purchase in advance or something like
sure.
that?
But sure.
That answers it. Thank you.
All right.
Why is the debt service significantly higher on the front end versus the back end? You've got a higher debt service in 2030 and 31.
So you are paying off some debt as we go through this 10-year process. You've got a little bit of water debt that gets paid off roughly halfway through this. And you also have some additional sewer debt that's getting paid off as we go through this. And then the other piece is just a timing perspective. Generally speaking, when you sell debt, you don't start paying the debt service on it until a year after. We've got a 10-year overall financial plan that's associated with this. And then, you know, we look at it and we say, okay, well, how does that all lay out on an annualized basis? But you do have some debt that you currently have on the books that you're paying off as you go through this process as well.
Just seems like it back 3 or 4 years are significantly less.
Well, and the other part is we're presenting to you a 5-year rate plan. We haven't fully developed a full rate plan for the out years of this. And so just recognize that we've got a 10-year financial plan in general, but we're only recommending a 5-year rate plan because you start to look out more than 3 to 4 years and it gets pretty fuzzy, quite frankly. So. All right, so speaking of the rate plan, as I mentioned before, we're recommending to you a difference between the amount that you increase water rates versus wastewater rates. A 2% water rate for the first 3 years consecutively, increase starting in October of this year, 10% wastewater for all 5 years of the plan, 3% water for the last 2 years of the plan. And so essentially the water, as you can imagine, is essentially keeping up with inflation. You've got enough fund balance in place right now that you'll be able to spread out these cost increases, particularly on the wastewater side, over the course of 5 years. Just recognizing, though, if you adopted just a single year and then didn't continue to adopt, there's not enough increase in 2 and 10% in October of 2026 to make up for the costs that we see coming down the road. The entire plan is really necessary to cover the costs that we've identified. And in fact, the first couple of years of this, we would expect that you're not only not adding anything into your fund balance, but very likely drawing down your fund balance a little bit in a way that is that's manageable, that still maintains a 90-plus day reserve within your fund balance. It's a fiscally conservative approach to it, but recognizing that you do have a fund balance right now. We didn't want to increase or recommend increasing the rates to a point of where it doesn't use any of that additional fund balance that you have in place right now. We'll get to a slide that's got a little bit more detail on that here in a minute. In fact, here it is. So the 90-day requirement of a fund balance and is shown as the blue bar essentially here, and the green line is what we project your fund balance to actually be. Now recognize that the fund balance is largely dependent upon the actual sales. We keep getting rain like we've had here the last several weeks, and you're not going to sell as much water this summer as we might have expected, right? So this is something that needs to be looked at and reviewed on a regular basis to make sure that we're working through and working towards the projected revenue amounts as well as the expenditures. But the expenditures, while not fixed, are more or less stable. The revenues do tend to be a little bit more volatile, particularly on the water side, because it's so weather dependent. So recognizing that, we would look to, as part of this rate plan, and again, to the comment from the public comments earlier, we would be drawing down your fund balance from roughly $2.3 million in fiscal 26 down to about $1.9 million in fiscal 27. That's still 105 days worth of reserve. Again, 90 days is a very good amount of reserve for utilities. We often see utilities as low as 60. We don't recommend that. but it is a generally speaking best practice between 60 and 90 days, unless there's some overbearing particular risk that's associated with it. That stays relatively constant from a day's perspective, 103 days in 2028, and then begins to build 114 days by 2029 and 109 days by 2030. You'll notice particularly the difference between, even though we're adding to fund balance between 27 and 28, not a lot, but adding a little bit to fund balance, that the number of days goes down. That's because your cost of service continues to climb as well. So each day of operating costs more in 2028 than it does in 2027. And so in order to maintain a steady level of fund balance, you have to actually generate more money to do that. That's part of what drives rate plans as well.
You don't happen to have a projection if we started off at 3% right away instead of the gradual 2%.
On the water side, I don't, but I could run that.
Every time I hear our fund balance is going to get tapped into, it makes me a little nervous, just to be honest with you.
I'm with him.
And I don't like the drawdown scenario here, even though it's very...
Sure.
It meets all the legal requirements and whatnot. I just, as soon as you do that, we get a natural disaster or something. And that's what makes me a little nervous.
And it would allow us to issue less debt in the future, correct?
It ostensibly would, right? So the debt projections that we have are based on understanding of cost of what those projects will be when you actually let those projects. There is a high probability that the numbers that we have in our model are not exactly what those projects will cost. And so it may or may not allow for a reduction in the amount of debt that's necessary in the future. But you could, if you so choose, obviously take those dollars, identify first whether or not they're real and in excess of what the plan called for. Because again, if you have less sales over the course of the summer, even with an extra percent in rate increase, you still may not be generating excess revenue.
That's exactly right.
But if you have a good sales year, you'll be generating more excess revenue, right? So then the question is, what do you do with that? You can work with your staff to make sure that that's essentially earmarked for capital projects to be able to offset those costs as it goes forward. Whether that's costs that are increasing faster than what we might have expected from a capital projects perspective, or new projects that come up as they very often do. Yeah. So I don't have that number off the top of my head.
Yeah,
but
that wasn't very fair to ask you right there.
But I'd
like to know.
But recognize, I can say with confidence that an extra percent is still going to require some level of drawdown. Not as much as roughly $400,000 worth of drawdown in this first year, but it is still going to. It's not going to be. 1% on your water is not going to be generating excess revenues. It's still going to be taking a little bit from your fund balance. It'll just be able to build it up faster.
Yeah.
Quick question. And that 1% means how much to the consumer?
I'll be able to do some mental math here in a moment.
But you've done the math.
I'll be able to kind of do that mental math here in just a moment.
Right. Thank you.
It's less than a dollar, certainly, per month, yes.
Okay.
But again, we'll get to that chart and I'll identify.
Maybe, yes. Yeah.
I think one of the things, too, that to Councilman Kriegel's point, the backside of that from 48 to 60 months, that's the biggest part of the crapshoot is the debt service.
Sure.
So if we were to be able to start out at 3 instead of 2, his point's well made that does address the debt service on the backside for the city. I personally think that's minimal, but it does, because it's such a guess, in terms of what debt service would be, I think that it's very relevant to check into that, see what we would come up with, and at least ask the appropriate question. I think that's our responsibility.
Sure.
So,
yeah. Between inflation and interest rates changing everything,
because that is the biggest part. I mean, anytime you're looking at a program that goes from 1 to 10, albeit this is 5, the farther out it gets, the bigger I guess it is.
Sure. Yep.
And we all have to make sure that we remember that piece.
I will say the only thing that I'm certain about in our model is that the numbers are wrong. The question is by how much and in which direction, right? So we think they're pretty close, obviously. We believe them to be solid conservative estimates. However, particularly the further you get out, the more wrong they will be. There's no question about that.
Then many, many, many budgets.
So kind of getting to that point, a 2% increase, the recommended amount here, you can see on your base charge goes up from $33.60 to $34.27. So that is less than a dollar for a 2% increase. You'd be talking about another 33 cents roughly on average for a per month for a residential customer base charge. Now, it gets a little bit more squirrely when you talk about what's 1% on the volume charges, because it depends on how much volume is being used, right? So we can look at that on a on the impact, you know, the bill impact here in just a minute as well. But an extra percent would increase the volume rate on your first tier by about another 4 cents. So go from 407 to about 411 or so. Again, we can run those rates and get them back to you quickly. And then assuming the second year of the plan, you'd also like to be at 3% as opposed to 2%, and then just be stably at 3% through the five-year plan on the water side. Again, we can run that and get the exact numbers, but just ballpark, I'm talking about, you know, roughly 4 cents on the first tier, roughly 5 cents on the second tier, and roughly 6.5 cents or so on the third tier, in addition to the rates that you see on this chart here. So again, the total impact to the consumer will depend upon the, you know, the actual amount that they use, but we can show here, when you look at, this is for both water and wastewater, total for sort of a typical bill, a 10,000 gallon water, 5,000 gallon wastewater, right now combined they pay $113.76. According to this plan, the 210, that would go up by a total of 5.4%. Or $6.13. If I were just taking a educated stab at what does an extra percent on the water side do, you're talking about probably a little bit less than an extra dollar on the first year, and then roughly a dollar or so on the second year as well, and then that's going to carry out through the remainder of the plan as well. On a typical customer, so again, about $12 a year, about a dollar a month. And again, it's going to vary based on how much usage they have, but that's right now, even though we're looking at a 10% wastewater, because of that relatively low amount on the water side, it brings that total bill impact down to about, you know, 5.5% or so based on usage.
And we don't have to stair step it either. We can keep it at the 3% for the 5 years, like you said.
Yeah.
And just get everybody used to that increase and keep it that way for 5 years.
Yeah, and then our projection, again, based on the capital improvement plan and the actual cost of debt and all those kinds of things, is after these first 5 years of wastewater where we've caught up as well as begun to pay for the full impact of the new debt service over that period of time, then you could very likely go down to 3-4% or so on the wastewater side as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the communities that we see regularly doing an annual increase of somewhere between 3-5% on their utilities stay financially sustainable. They're able to pay for more and more of their projects with cash as opposed to debt. And most ratepayers, quite frankly, from our perspective of standing up here doing this a lot of times, tends to be most ratepayers appreciate essentially an inflation-adjusted bill as opposed to a significant jump in a bill.
Sure.
People forget really quickly that you hadn't raised rates in however many years when you have to show them a 30 or 40% increase, so.
Right.
Which we sometimes have to do. All right, so quick summary. We can work with your staff and get back just a new table, or if you are so inclined, you certainly can just simply adjust the recommendation, take action here on it being 3% each year of the five for the water, 10% each year on the wastewater side. We'll get back to your staff and model that and show exactly what we would expect those revenues to come in at should you take that action. Or if you want to wait until you can see what those exact numbers are, obviously we can come back next month and deliver that to you as well. That's your pleasure.
When do you need this by, Ms. Brenda?
It needs to be probably by next month because we'll have to include it in the presentation.
Okay.
Of the budget.
Okay.
I think for the budget I'm compiling now, I'm using the 3% or the 2%.
Right.
For what I'm going to present to you in July. But my disclaimer in July is that those numbers are subject to change.
Of course.
So I can edit that
yep.
when I present the second draft in August.
Any questions for the gentleman?
I would think that's what we'd want to do.
Okay. We can chat about it here a little bit more. Any questions for him? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great report. Really appreciate you doing this. Thanks for working through it with us.
Sure.
We're probably going to ask you to do this maybe another time.
Absolutely.
To get us a little bit more comfortable, but did a great job.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for coming.
All right, Council, so what do you guys think? What would you like to do? Brenda needs an answer no later than next month, so.
I'd like to get the official number.
Yeah, I'd like to see the numbers as well.
Okay.
And then with Brenda's disclaimer, I mean, we can move forward pretty easily.
Okay.
That's my thinking.
Is everybody good with that? I figured that was the way we were going to lean, but.
Yeah.
Does that put you in a bind at all? Okay. I just want to be sure. All right. Councilman, did you have anything for it?
Mm, no.
Do you want to make the motion to postpone this item until next month?
Yeah, I make a motion that we postpone this item until next month when we get the new numbers.
A second.
It's been moved and seconded. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. Ayes have it and the motion carries. We'll talk about this again next month. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Okay, thank you, Council. We will move on to item number 8. Discussion and consider action on resolution R26-11, amending the City of Woodway master fee schedule regarding venue rental fees for the Pavilion and Carlene Bright Arboretum. Motion to discuss, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, or is this ACM's item?
She's got it. I can introduce it.
Okay, great. Great.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. During the quarterly financial report presentation at the April 27, 2026 City Council meeting, the Pavilion and Arboretum Department was directed to review rental revenues and potential fee changes. Staff researched comps for various event venues throughout Central Texas with similar amenities and capacity to compare rental fees, potential rental packages, and discounts to remain competitive with comparable venues. Staff prepared the attached proposed pricing guide, which includes recommended amended rental fees for the Pavilion, Whitehall, and Gazebo venues.
Okay, ACM, you got anything more for us? By the way, huge congratulations to ACM and Madam Secretary for graduating today with that ACM license. Congrats.
Thank you. Thanks, Mayor and Council, for letting us come explain some of these fees. I have Lindsay with me. She's going to help with passing out two documents. So one of the documents is the master fee schedule with the current rates for fiscal year 26. Yes, okay. And that's also, this is all in your packet, but just if it's easier to flip through a piece of paper, we have that for you. And then she also has the flyer that she made after our research that we did with suggested rates. And so these are for the three venues, Pavilion, Whitehall, and Gazebo. So as Mr. Nylett said, after the April 27th City Council meeting, we went back, pulled some comps. We actually pulled 10 comps in Central Texas. There are a lot of bridal venues, by the way, over the last few years, and that was actually very helpful to us to pull. So one thing that we wanted to do was to realign our pricing structure to match those of the event venue industry. So something that we realized as we not only pulled comps in the area, but we also went and pulled the master fee schedule from 2018 to 2026 to kind of see how the pricing has changed. So what we have discovered, the rates have increased every year since 2023, and they are not in line with comps in the area. That's the bottom line, what we found out. So last year, to answer Mr. Hoffman's question, last year there was a 10% increase. And the reason behind that was wanting to increase revenue, correct? So we thought we'll increase the pricing. But what we have found is that the Saturday rental pricing is really outpriced. So we needed to go back and look at that. We have talked to our staff, the ones who actually do the tours, and they said it's not a matter of people getting the information to them. They have tours every day. We had 92 tours in the first 7 months, I think. Yeah. And so they said it's not a matter of that. It really is the pricing with the amenities. They're not apples to apples. And also the capacity. So what you see on your paper is the capacity for each building. And then, of course, you know the amenities. Some of these new bridal venues that are out there, they have a huge groom's suite, right? We don't have that. They get ready in the restroom. So that may be not favorable for some. And then they also have lodging on site. So that's something we also don't have. So when you're looking at it, it's not apples to apples. I'll let y'all look through those rates to see if you have specific questions.
So what I'm looking at right now, the all-day rate that we currently have, Sunday through Thursday, is $3,700, right?
Yes, that's one thing that I do want to note on the pricing sheets. They look a little different from the master fee schedule because in the master fee schedule, it is broken down by the rental fee, the kitchen fee, and the cleaning. Oh. In our pricing for all-day rates, that is included, so it's all in one price.
Oh, okay. Yes. I see.
So it might look a little different.
So the little flyer that we have in the packet, though, is more apples to apples with the master fee schedule?
The one that I just gave you?
No, it's a little bit different in the, like I've got peak season, Sunday through Thursday.
Yes.
$3,500.
Yes, so the biggest difference in this one compared to what you see on the master fee schedule is we are wanting to do away with the kitchen fee. It's already in the building. There's no reason to really price that out as a separate amenity. And then we also wanted to include a half-day option.
Yep.
That was something that a lot of people were really interested in. Sure. It's something that we elected not to offer on at the pavilion because Saturdays are popular when we have proper pricing. But with Whitehall, it seems like a very great option to add those half-day rentals in for Saturdays as well. So every day is an option for a half-day rental for Whitehall, and then it'd be Sunday through Friday. And then we also added in discounts, a few different discounts that a lot of people have requested as well. So we've already had the resident discount, but we decided to add in a military first responder, a nonprofit, and a school. And then another thing that we looked at whenever we were looking at a lot of the comps is that they have a discount for paying in full. And we thought that would be a great idea, a good incentive to get people to book.
Commit.
Quickly, yeah, yeah. To commit. Yeah.
So Lindsay, I deeply apologize. I don't know why I can't follow this, but
you're fine.
On the sheet that you just gave us,
yes,
I've got Saturday all day rate $5,500. That's all inclusive. That's with everything, right?
Yes.
But on this little flyer that I have here, mm-hmm. It's Saturday all day is $4,500.
Correct.
During peak and $4,000.
That's another thing that we decided to implement as well. We found that January, February, and August were not as popular months. So that's why it's kind of broken down differently with the peak and the non-peak. The biggest takeaway from this sheet is a $1,000 decrease.
Is this what they currently?
This is what they currently.
Okay, that's what it was. Okay. That's sorry. What it was.
Yes, okay. To simplify that. This is what they currently see. This is what we're proposing.
Okay. I thought this was the new.
No, price. This is what we would like to.
Is that what you thought, yes. Meg?
That's why I was confused. I thought you were.
I apologize. Yeah,
where is that?
Okay.
It should have been included in your work.
Yeah,
I'll
take it.
Yeah, it is on.
I heard you say we weren't competitive, and then I saw this going up.
You're like,
and I said,
this
is gotcha. Thank you. That's what was.
I apologize. Yes.
That's what was messing me up. Okay.
That makes
please continue.
Sense.
Yes. So, and just to clarify a little bit more too about the discounts, we get asked all the time for what is your cheapest rate you can do. You know, I'm a school district. I'm a nonprofit. We don't have any money, and we get asked these things all the time. And you know, unfortunately. We can't do free rentals all the time either. And so this was one of the things that we wanted to research. What are the other venues doing? And they are offering the nonprofit, the school, mm-hmm. and then of course, like we said, the military and first responder and the paid in full. So those are what other venues are offering. And we love that we can give back to the community and offer that discount. Mm-hmm. It does make a difference. One other thing we'd like to add to with the reason for the pricing changes is that, like we said, the Saturday bookings, people are booking weddings on a Monday morning at 10 a.m., like last week.
Friday and Sunday rentals are no problem, but for whatever reason.
It was the Saturday.
For whatever reason, they do not want to touch the Saturday rentals. So.
To our residents' question earlier. Those 92 interviews that you guys had or people come through.
It's been more since, but yes.
So it's more.
Yes.
So does that give you a feel, how many of those 92 would have you gotten with this fee versus the original, the other fee?
These fees that we're presenting, the proposed ones?
Feel like you would have gotten way more of those 92?
As far as Saturday bookings, yes.
Okay.
Immensely, yes. I think that we would have. Up so quickly with
so
these
we would
rates.
Have made more money because we'd had the place
right. Yeah, I think the pricing pricing right, you're gonna need more people to
yeah.
book. I did speak with our pavilion manager Jenny probably in December, so 3 months into the fiscal year, and she had already seen the feedback coming in that people just are not booking these at this price. And so she was already worried a couple months in. And so we've been discussing it. This was already in the works for us. But then after, of course, the April meeting, it just gave us kind of the permission we were looking for from council to go ahead and move forward with amending in the middle of the year and not waiting until October.
So it essentially began with, again, the question of like bringing up in enough revenue. And so our answer initially was, well, we can just, if we steadily increase the rates, and so let's just take a little bit more of a jump. That obviously turned on us in this fiscal year. And so we're like, okay, now it's an opportunity to kind of adapt.
Mm-hmm. Just pivot.
Very good.
Yes, I'm glad that we are doing this now and not waiting.
Yes,
we are too.
Also, Whitehall was not being used last year to the degree that it is now. So what do you see with that? How's that been transition?
Whitehall rentals have
been steady.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
Are we charging too little on Whitehall?
See, I think, that's another rate that we decreased as well. We think that it would give an opportunity, because one thing that actually Jack had noted is that it's not necessarily always about increasing the price, but the volume of the rentals. So I think with just that slight decrease,
yeah.
it gets an opportunity to really bring in more people. We've had a really steady flow of rentals down at Whitehall, but I think that this will present an opportunity to get even more.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, you can go with volume to try
yes.
and get more dollars in the door.
Yeah.
Usually, though, in my experience with other, you know, hotels that book up the fastest have the best rates
right.
or whatnot.
Right.
You raise it up until you get into that
yeah.
perfect balance.
Yeah.
But I like this strategy better.
And we see, too, the groups that are wanting to book Whitehall, it is going to be smaller parties, yeah. right? So it's an end-of-the-year banquet. It's a
baby shower, bridal shower, small, intimate, like birthday party. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're not going to pay $3,000 to book a baby shower. I mean, some people have. But we think we'd get a lot more with a reasonable rate at Whitehall.
So when you decide to budget a number, what utilization percentage do you anticipate for budgeting for the pavilion and for Whitehall?
For all venues?
Yeah, for all.
$200,000 is what the number is.
Have a utilization percentage. I mean, you have
a lot of historical data from previous years that you kind of watch and kind of know how much money you need to cover that many events.
Yeah.
You use a lot of that. I know both of y'all do.
Well, I mean, you have so many days that are available for rent. What percentage of those days are rented?
That I'll have to go back and
that's what get that's where exactly my you, my experience with rental is really based on utilization. And if you have a number that you're going to rent for, and you have so many days that you rent it, what percentage of those days need to be rented to accomplish your budget number?
Right.
Yeah, and it depends on which venue we're talking about, because Whitehall is used for programming as well. And so sometimes that programming is profitable, and sometimes it's like ArboFest where the venue's closed. So it just kind of depends, like I said, which venue we're talking about.
I want to commend whoever did this really nice graphic work, too. Is that you?
Yes.
And I mean, I'm imagining people going home to make their decision and having this big selling point put that up against the other graphics from the other providers. That's great.
Well, we can. I mean, we can try this out. You know, see how it goes, and if it gets us to where we're self-sustaining again, you know, that would be mission accomplished, you know?
Yes.
That question, by the way, that I just asked is not a deal breaker for me. I was just curious to know how we created a utilization number. But I'm with you, Mayor.
Yeah, we can try it, and then if we're still not getting bookings or whatnot, we can reevaluate and see.
Yeah, and typically, you know, the master fee schedule changes each year. So, like you said, if it doesn't, if we're, you know, next year we change it and do something else.
Yeah. And of course, I know you're doing this already, but working closely with Brenda to see how your department is doing and getting to the green, you know, that would make us feel really, really good when you come up here and say, hey, we're self-sustaining now, we're not losing money, you know, that would be...
Yeah, that's the goal.
Exactly. No,
What have you done in marketing to increase or improve or change or whatever?
So right now, the majority of our marketing is through social media. We have some magazine ads. We have a constant contact that goes out, the email blasts. We partner with a lot of businesses.
Yeah, sponsorship.
Sponsors.
And KXXV.
In the area. One thing that we discussed in our most recent meeting with KXXV, who we do our TV advertising through, is getting a commercial together to really push that out. And so we would also like to do a styled shoot and really get kind of like a little package together to really present, like, this is what we have here in Woodbury. There's still a lot of people that are learning about it. We have Wedding Pro, it's and then The Knot. They're like the wedding hub, or like venue hub. If you want to know where to rent, the first thing you're going to do is go in there and be like, okay, what venue do I have in this area that accommodates this many people that's within this price range? And we're already on those. So we get a lot of our inquiries through those programs. So
maybe even just a, you know, new rates, you know, like,
yes,
like just advertising.
Yeah, really pushing that out as well.
Push the new rates. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See what
better
we
rates or whatever you want to label it as to get people like,
oh. We're also in the newsletter every month, too. And so we're changing out, you know, maybe it's a wedding ad. Mm-hmm. This month we did the business ad.
Yeah. We have a new billboard on the States of the View.
I saw that.
We would like to maybe put one out closer to Franklin or something.
Is that our billboard?
No, it's not. Okay. It's through Swift Media.
But we have like long-term lease on it or whatever. Very good.
Great work, you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's fun.
Thank you for getting to work on it really, really fast too. You know, you heard us on April 27th and you went straight to work on it. So thank you very, very much. Much appreciated.
Thanks for tolerating the questions.
Oh, absolutely.
All righty.
I'm happy to make a motion if there's no other discussion.
Yes.
Is there any other discussion? No. Okay, I move that we accept resolution R-26-11, amending the City of Woodway master fee schedule regarding venue rental fees for the pavilion and arboretum.
I second.
All right, we have a motion from Pro Tem and a second from Councilwoman Gilman. I'll read the resolution before the vote. This is R-26-11, a resolution by the City Council of the City of Woodway, Texas, amending the master fee schedule, repealing all resolutions in conflict, declaring an effective date, and finding and determining that the meeting at which this resolution is passed is open to the public as required by law. I'll call for the vote now. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. Ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Resolution R-26-11 is adopted. Very good. Thank you so much, ladies. Much appreciated. Council, you have the consent agenda in front of you. Items 9 Alpha through 9 Charlie. Don't know why I said it in military lingo, but
hey,
I don't know.
Why not?
No idea why that came out. But anyway, 9A through C are on your consent agenda. Does anybody want to discuss anything, take anything off there to discuss separately?
I am open to removing item 9C.
Okay. Any other item? Okay. I will call for a motion on 9A and B.
I move to accept the consent agenda on 9A and B.
Thank you, Mrs. Second. Sir. Thank you, Councilwoman. 9A and B have been moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. Ayes have it, and 9A and B are approved. Madam Secretary, 9C, please. Item 9C is discussion and consider action to award a contract in response to request for bids. Number 26-02, for 2026 micro-surfacing improvements to Viking Construction, the lowest responsible bidder in an amount not to exceed $400,000 and authorizing the city manager to execute any documents in connection therewith. Motion to discuss, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
I just wanted, I wondered if Mr. Davison could give us just a little bit more information on this as requested by Mr. Hoffman.
I'd love to.
Thank you.
I love talking about MicroSeal. It's good. People don't care too much to know. But I went back and looked at the bids from last year and this year just to try to compare the two and to answer Mr. Hobbs' question. We're doing about the same amount of square yardage. The difference in pricing is, but last year's was a little bit under budget. This year's bid is a little over budget. So there is definitely an increase in the square yardage for what we're doing. And we will, you know, as you can kind of see in the bids, their bid came in a little over budget. We're going to adjust it down to get it under budget. We've had to do this in the past. And last year it was actually the other way around. We came in low enough that we were able to add some streets to it to get the most bang for the buck. But yes, the price of oil has definitely impacted MicroSeal. Pretty much everything touching that is oil. Not to mention their mobilization costs are more because of the price of diesel fuel. So we're feeling that, and talking to the contractors, they're feeling it as well. But we didn't get as much of a decrease as what I would think. But in general, his question is true, is that we're not getting as much bang for the buck this year as we would last year. Their unit price is higher.
Sure.
For the same product. but we're getting about the same amount of coverage. There's enough play in their contracts for the striping, mobilization, traffic control, that they're able to kind of adjust their pricing and stay within our budget. Most the bidders that we have know what our budget is, and so they try to stay close to it.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Does that negotiation happen even after we approve this amount? I mean, I know that you negotiate afterward, but you're just going to try and get it down to what we're budgeted for.
Right. I've already called the contractor and said, I'm going to need to take some of this out.
Okay.
I've started that groundwork, but that's why this, when you see y'all's action, it's actually not to exceed $400,000.
Yeah.
So I will not, it's not an exact amount like we sometimes have.
Right.
And that's why is the bids, if you look at the bid summary, the low bid was $431,000.
Yes.
And so I've already called the contractor and said, I'm going to probably just knock two or three streets out to get down closer to under 400,000. And he's fine with that.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. We good?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
I'm happy to
move on it.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
We've got a motion.
Sorry.
I was trying to figure out. I was like, I hear other voices.
Me too.
Are we good? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I move that we award bid number 26-02 for micro surfacing improvements to Viking Construction in the amount not to exceed $400,000.
A second.
Thank you, Pro Tem. Thank you, Councilwoman Gilman. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay. Ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you so much, Council. All right, and now we're down to the City Manager and City Council reports. So you go first, Mr. Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll make it short and sweet on everybody. I don't have anything this week.
Oh,
okay.
No, you go first.
In the mailer and on social media, so we're pleased with the way things are moving along, even in the heat of the budget season.
Wonderful.
It's good.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Number 12 are the City Council reports. These are briefings or updates that are provided by the City Council. Dave, I can handle Parks and Rec if you'd
That's
like
perfect.
Me to, since I was liaison for that.
Yeah, he stood in for me, so.
Is that okay?
Sure.
Parks and Rec are actually working on a preliminary budget to bring to us. They're going to put together their desires for next year and put it in a budget. They're gonna work with city staff to figure out how much that's gonna cost and put it in a format that we can look at and see, okay, yes or no or some. Or all of it, and that will be part of our discussion during budget season. So that's what they were working on. They had put together some numbers, but in the course of the meeting, more and more things kept coming up that they wanted and that they were talking about. And I said, well, if it's not in the budget, it's not going to happen. So I encouraged them to go back and actually put down what they want and then let us do the what we can do, approve or decline what we can or can't do. So I believe they've called for another meeting to put that together, and then we should have it hopefully by the time we go through the budget this summer. So that's the latest on parks.
There's a PNC meeting tomorrow talking about the preliminary plat for lot 6 and 7, block 1, Florence Moore Addition. In lot 2, block 1 of the Florence Moore Addition to be recorded with McLennan County Clerk's documents.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
Our Ordinance Review Committee has been hard at work, and starting next month, we're going to be able to roll out a few of the ordinances that we have been updating to be able to come into compliance with the state code for local government. This in July, we will discuss some of the more simple, I don't know if that's the best word for it, but some changes that just really need to happen to come into compliance. So
So stay tuned.
So stay tuned.
Yes.
That's right. It'll come out in your packet and you'll be so excited.
It's important stuff for sure.
It is.
Ken?
Woodway Commission is kind of out of commission for the summer, more or less.
See what you did there.
Yeah. I actually do have one correction. Our Yard of the Month winner is Julie Corley, C-O-R-L-E-Y. Oh, I saw that house come up, and I go, I've been in that house.
Okay, thank you. And then I was so confused.
And then I checked the address.
I was like, that is Julie Corley's house.
Yeah, so okay. It should be Julie and Don Corley. Don actually retired in April, so he's probably working on that yard.
No wonder.
And Julie's.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And is it Casa Grande or Casa Granada?
It's Casa Grande.
Okay, you had said Granada.
I had, yes. Yes.
It's in Spanish.
We will get it fixed.
That's right. So, the Corleys, great folks.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was trying to think, where is Casa Granada? But anyway.
So, can I ask a quick question about commissions?
Yeah, of course.
We talked a little bit about training the commissioners.
Yes.
As well as maybe some of us. Where do we get that? Do we put that on an agenda for a meeting, or do we just cover it during the class?
Talk to her. She's got her hand raised. She's
going to
do it.
Okay. Our city secretary has been at work on that for some time.
Good.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, right.
We're going to be so excited.
Thanks for your tolerance.
No, absolutely. Well, I mean, you bring up a very good point. The secretary did send me the appointments to make, so I'll be working on those and get it to you very soon, Keisha. But I did want to just reiterate the importance that you being on a committee and you being on as a liaison really requires a little bit more involvement with coaching and developing and just making sure that they're doing things by Robert's rules and abiding by the code of ethics and that sort of thing. There's a lot of on-the-job training. I mean, I get it. You know, you two are learning that right now, right? You know, we just did a day session and here you are. So I get it. But when you're on there, please feel free to interject and to offer advice and guidance. You know, not in any way that would make it weird, but they need our support is what I'm trying to say.
That's great.
Is that fair?
I mean, yeah, that's very fair.
Okay.
As long as, I mean, as we know that. I mean, I was specifically told not to do that.
Well, you're not a voting member on there, but if you see, I mean, they're going to look to you. I mean, I imagine many times they ask you
they have,
they look
and
to you.
And I've answered their questions.
Yes.
So it's more process related than content. So, I mean, there are different views on this. My view is that a liaison is not to impart their desires onto the commissioners. But if they are out of order as far as our code of ethics is concerned or
Robert's
rules of order, that's where we can swoop in and help make sure that things go according to plan.
And I was happy to see at the parks meeting they actually asked for a primer on Robert's rules and the code of ethics for next meeting, so you may want to help them out. So
I'm still on board.
True. But no, you've done a great job on there. Anyhow, I just wanted to empower you guys to be a little bit more involved with representing us, and we need to be just to help them along because they may not know what they don't know and they may be out of order. So just feel free to be a little guide for them. Cool. Anybody else? Any questions? Anything? Okay. Well, if that's all, I'll consider a motion on adjourning, please.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded, and we are adjourned at 6:51 p.m. Thank you, everybody. Have a great night.
Either arms, eyes are failing, or...
Yeah, no.